This is military presence on the disputed Malvinas Islands, according to reports on Tuesday. UK Defence Secretary Michael Fallon is likely to announce an increase of troop numbers on the islands to the Parliament. Fallon told the BBC any future and possible threats to British administration of the islands will be considered as troop numbers are reviewed. Known to the British as the Falklands, the Malvinas Islands have been held by the United Kingdom since 1833. When British warships seized the archipelago. Argentina has long disputed British claims to the islands. In 1982, tensions boiled over into a short war that claimed close to 900 lives and ended with the United Kingdom holding on to the islands. Since the war, both Argentina and the United Kingdom...
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio, with the Angry Indian, on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
On the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
Oh, Mr. President, you've been a governor and a president, so you have a unique experience looking at it from two directions. What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century, and how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet Radio for Smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
So, peace.
All right, later, Angry. Bye now. Our buddy, the Angry Indian. And moving on, is that you, Jim?
It is. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I've been better.
Indeed. Indeed.
Responding to your last caller, I can understand his, what he's saying. And I mean no offense by this, but I wish that he would clean up his language.
Well, that's one of the nice things here, though, is that we don't have to abide by FCC regulations, Jim.
Well,
and we can talk like the rest of the world talks.
Well, you don't have to be, you know, be in excess of it. I mean, 1 GD, 1 MF, whatever. I mean, we've been talking for 10 years, and you have never known me to be a prude. Never. I've said things to you on this program that I haven't said anywhere else. But not without all these expletives and obliteratives. And I find them patently offensive and inimical to the process of what you're trying to create.
Okay.
Internet radio for smarter than original.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, Salaton and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under colonialist, imperialist, theological, racialist, homophobic, misogynist, neoclassist, neoliberal, neoliteral, and neo-fascist oppression. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the fourth world from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my executive producer and studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I don't know where to begin because there's so much happening. I mean, you have what's going on in Yemen. You have Saudi involved again in Yemen that just happened before. It's part of why the Houthis took over, because they've always believed that the Wahhabis, remember, you know, Wahhabi, extreme Sunni, and then you had the Houthis, which are a pretty moderate Shia. But, you know, they're being backed by Iran, or at least it's being suspected that they're being backed by Iran. Yvonne Craig, the British reporter who lived in Yemen for several years, reported out of Yemen. I believe she reported out of Sana'a. She's been recently doing the rounds. Anyone that will speak to her, which usually means Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez of Democracy Now, and you should always check them out at democracynow.org. I don't know if Free Space Radio News has gotten a hold of her. I hope they do. It's a pretty, really fucked up situation. But again, this is what the intelligence community likes to call blowback. The unintended consequences of a previous operation are at you. And in the case of what was happening in Yemen, you know, it's tribal. You had the economic system, which has always been pretty depressed. It's pretty much reliant upon Saudi Arabia. As a matter of fact, Saudi Arabia even annexed many parts of Yemen, some of the tribal areas, right? So, you know, you have this kind of love-hate relationship going on between Yemen and Saudi. But at the same time, the Houthis are Shia or Shiite. And they're connected to Iran, like Hezbollah, like Hamas. But even though they're listed as a moderate group, right now they're not looking too good in terms of the eyes of the West. But then again, the West is okay with communism when it's the Mech and they're against the Islamic State, their own state. Yeah, you know about them, the Mech. When I was talking about Rudy Giuliani not too long ago, we talked about the Mech because he took money from the Mech. The Mech was listed as a terrorist organization until very recently. He and several other people, not just Republicans, there were some Democrats in there too, took money from a terrorist organization. Go look this up. M-E-K, Mech, and Rudy Giuliani. And you'll see a list of all of the other, you know, former military people, former politicians. Well, is there such a thing as former military and former politician? Especially once you get beyond a certain level? No, you know. So they're all working in the private sector, and I suppose that includes lobbying for terrorist organizations, provided that they're against a chosen enemy, which is Iran in this case, right? So, you know, nobody likes Persia, even though no one would have had a problem with Persia if people had left Persia alone. And, you know, I'm talking about the 1950s when American and British intelligence overturned the system there. Right. And then overturned it again for the Shah, you know, about 20 years or so later. Right. Created the Sabak. You know, I mean, there were very few people in Iran, you know, in Iran at that time. It was still they didn't have a brother, a mother, or an uncle or a cousin or some sort of relative or a best friend that was, you know, damaged by the Sabak, if not removed by the Sabak. So, yeah. There's a lot of history going on down there. You know, this is a tug of war. And then you have the Islamic State, which is the result of the anti-Syrian move, right? I mean, read PNAC, Project for New American Century. It's all goddamn in there. Speaking of Amy Goodman, we just mentioned her. What's that, Lupe? Yeah. Lupe is saying that you can go on YouTube and... what was his name? General... Resley Clark. General Resley Clark and Amy Goodman, where he talked about the list. Matter of fact, why don't we just put a soundbite on, if you can remember, Luke, when we finish talking about this. Because, you know, it's important to understand that Syria, Iran, you know, all of these nations except Saudi Arabia are dominoes that they're just, you know, ticking away. And then you had Tunisia, you know, Libya. They got Libya, right? They got Gaddafi. They got Iraq. They have Afghanistan, if you can call it having. I mean, big business doesn't give a damn, you know. And the private mercenaries that they're using for this, well, their leader's living in Dubai. He's a hardcore evangelical Christian talking about Gog and Magog, but he lives in Dubai. He lives in air-conditioned comfort in Dubai. So, yeah, there's that. Because nobody knows where the fuck this is going. Nobody knows where the fuck this is going. The only thing that we do know is that the U.S. is involved in it. And if Saudi... Because there is no such thing as a Saudi military. Right? That's like saying the IDF. I mean, the IDF are basically agents of the United States. Because if the United States didn't supply them, there would be no goddamn IDF. Okay? They would probably still be using Sten guns and shit. Who were we talking about earlier, Loop, in terms of the same client state? Colombia. Colombia's been in the news recently, right? What's going on down in Colombia? You know, what's going on down in Venezuela? Is anybody in the mainstream media really talking about that in terms of history? What is happening in Venezuela? You know, when does Venezuela, which is, you know, damn near on his knees, is on his last fucking legs because the rich are sitting there, you know, waiting and doing everything they can to get Maduro out of office. Right, you know, no one will let them breathe, and now the U.S. is hitting every sanctions and says that they are a threat. I don't, you know, to what? To national security? You know, I don't get this. You know, this is kind of like when Jack Kennedy went, and I can't remember who was the president of Mexico at the time, and went to him and said that Cuba was a threat. And you know, it's said that whoever was presidente at that time laughed out loud. He couldn't take it seriously, and when Jack asked him, what the fuck are you laughing at? He goes, if I tell my people that, they'll die from laughter. He goes, that's it. Nobody takes this shit seriously. Come on. So, you know, we're pretty much in the same thing. Because remember when, you know, anytime you bring up Iran, it's always crazy. Remember the Straits of Hormuz? Remember when that was in the mainstream news media? Day in and day fucking out, right? We're coming to get you. We're coming to get you. The Straits of Hormuz. Remember, they were talking about this like this was the Armageddon. And there were fuckers in the various churches from coast to coast who were talking like that. Oh, why am I getting so upset about this? Well, I'm not upset about this. I'm just flabbergasted that stupidity can be this goddamn widespread. Well, what the fuck am I talking about? Stupidity can be this goddamn widespread. You know, I don't know what it is with the Native community on Twitter. Or really, I shouldn't say that because I don't have a problem with the Native community per se on Twitter. But I do have a fucking problem with, you know, a handful of idiots who think that they're the only Indians alive. And, you know, and it really, you know, gets me about whether it's black nationalism, Arab nationalism, you know, Native American nationalism, right? You know, even in Australia, you know, I mean, you got your black fellows, but then you got, you know, Aboriginal, you know, nationalists, right? Which is not necessarily in and of itself a bad thing. I mean, Malcolm X was a nationalist, but you know, this conscious nationalism, where you're actually trying to do something for your group, your tribal thing. And I mean do something. I'm talking about doing something positive, you know. Not the Zionist idea of going to steal somebody else's fucking land, because that's basically how all of these nation states got to be. You know, I mean, how many of them are really indigenous to where the fuck they are? I mean, everybody moved out of Africa. And I know my black fellow brothers in Oz don't want to hear that shit. But I'm sorry, you know, Human Genome Product... The Human Genome Project. Look, I'm not keen, but the idea of fucking people's DNA and shit, you know, being patented. But, you know, accept the motherfucking science. You know, you walk straight out of goddamn Africa. I mean, you know, let's just fucking deal with it. I'm not telling you to throw away your beliefs, because I know somebody's going to get offended about what I'm saying right now. I'm saying get with it. I'm talking about surviving. You see, we can be like the fucking Tea Party. Right? I'm talking about indigenous people in general, and that's something else I'm going to address. But what I'm talking about now is, you know, indigenous people can fucking live in a bubble and be like these goddamn teabaggers and the Tories and the various conservatives and shit that are losing their minds in the Anglophone world, because they don't seem to be going crazy like this in Germany and in France. You know, they're not crazy. They're just racist. You know, they're just bigoted sons of bitches that are angry with the fucking world because they think that Arabs and blacks are getting everything, which is bullshit. They don't even think that. Because if you've been an Uncle Tom like me, you know full well when you hang around with white people long enough, if you really are down with white people, they'll fucking tell you exactly what the fuck they think. They don't really think that black people are fucking getting over. They don't really think that immigrants are getting over. They don't really think that Native Americans are receiving a pro-cap check every goddamn week, you know, or a month, you know, or whenever the fuck, right? They don't fucking believe any of that. They know full goddamn well that Indians are cheated, that blacks are cheated, right? African people, right? Cheated every goddamn day. And Spanish-speaking natives, right, are cheated every motherfucking day in this country. And Asians, well, you know, it depends on whether or not you kiss ass or you don't. If you don't kiss ass, you're at the fucking bottom. If you do kiss ass, you can go, you know, where, you know, as high as the glass ceiling will go for the model minority. That's just the reality. That's the stark, fucking, soft white underbelly of the world. And we can sit and argue about how it got like that. And we should, so that we can really understand how the fuck it got like that. You dig what I'm saying? But the bottom fucking line is, when you start playing with racial politics, you're really playing with fucking fire. You know, and I know it's really hard to tell a lot of people who are drunk on dreams of racial superiority. You know, and like I said, I don't give a fuck if they're Native. I don't give a fuck if they're African. I don't give a fuck if they're Asian. That shit is ridiculous. And that includes the American Indian movement. And I know motherfuckers don't want to hear this, and I know somebody's probably having diarrhea right now, and you know what, that's just too motherfucking bad. But you know, somebody got angry with me because this is why this is coming up now. I had to hear some bullshit from these clowns, I believe, that, you know, claim that they own the Indians tag, you know, NDNZ or SZ, whatever the fuck it is. It's Z, right? All right. So Indians. All right, whatever. Nobody owns a goddamn hashtag on motherfucking Twitter, because none of us own goddamn Twitter. You understand what I'm saying? Now there's a point to be made for inappropriate shit being put on a hashtag. Yeah, that's true. And I'll argue that my goddamn self. I mean, you got white bigots who are using the Ferguson tag as a platform, basically, so that they can piss on other people. You know, that's the springboard from which they stand at the end of the goddamn jump board and shit, like they were at the Olympics. And there's all of these Ferguson activists below them, and other, you know, people who are concerned, who are not necessarily African, just goddamn human beings that give a fuck about social justice, human and social justice. You know, they stand up there and they just urinate on everybody. And they want to tell you about how, you know, blacks do all the fucking crime, which the FBI says that's bullshit. Okay. But see, they will bring up some FBI stats from like 2008 or 2006 or 2009 or whatever the fuck that don't look too fucking good. But of course, they're not talking about why these people were taking it. They're not talking about the background. There's no context. They're just using flat data. Okay, so if you use flat data, don't pick and choose. The flat data says that, you know, from what? 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. And here we are going into 2015, which as far as I'm aware, the data has not come out for that yet, because we don't really know how many people police are killing, right? We don't really know how many people are being stomped, how many are dying in custody, you know, due to the responsibility of the authorities, right? Not from natural causes. So what they do is they cherry pick, they pick and choose. Because when you look at the stats, white people are doing all the motherfucking crime. And the majority of crime against white people is being committed by other white people. It's like the same thing with black-on-black crime. It is real. Africans hurt each other. Mexicans, for the most part, hurt each other. Gangs, for the most part, hurt the people who they live around. They're not going to white neighborhoods. Now, if white kids go into the ghetto because they're looking to get high, looking to, to buy alcohol that they shouldn't have, or looking for some fucking excitement, right? Because they say that they rolled around Cholo Land or some shit for 3 hours on a Saturday night and heard some gunfire. You know, hey, you know, that shit happens. If a white dude, just like when I was a kid, white guy were coming through the neighborhood, sure. You know, I mean, the only time we saw white people, they were teachers, cops, or mailmen. Or the pharmacist. You dig what I'm saying? Nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody else. You know, a workman maybe? You know, somebody, you know, from Ma Bell, right? Fixing some lines, you know, up a pole. You know, that's it. It's the only time you saw Caucasians, right? But then, you know, occasionally when I would be young, can't sleep, looking out the fucking window, you see a white guy. Sometimes you see him in car. Sometimes you see him get out the car for a moment because I live right next to a holster. So, you know, I live right next door to a track. So motherfucking, I would see white guys. But they wasn't there to do anything good. They were either out there to buy marijuana, right, which was on one corner, which I could see from my window, right? And then there was the holster, which was, the, you know, basically the other corner and two other goddamn blocks that were dark, that had an alley. And fucking, yeah, I saw white guys. Yeah, I saw white guys. You know, from like Wednesday to Saturday nights, you know, you could see white men, you know, coming and going. You know, I mean, you would see them wearing shades at night, right? You know, driving to and fro, driving quick. Yeah, you see them. And then every now and again, you see some white kids with some, you know, plates that were not from this area. You know that this vehicle is from out of town. They're coming in there looking for dope. So, yeah, you know, so occasionally we see white people, but let's face it, you know. Yeah, am I going on a tangent? Of course I am. Roll with me. You know, what I'm trying to get to is here, every ethnic group, and it's easy to say this, that every ethnic group has problems. But every ethnic group has problems. You know, just saying that doesn't mean any goddamn thing. Every ethnic group has problems because of environmental and social fucking conditions. Now, I mentioned Yemen when we first came in here. Yemen is fucked up because they have no goddamn economy for the most part. And they're run by warlords and shit, like a lot of these goddamn countries. They were never allowed to develop. Never allowed to develop. And I fucking mean that, because I know motherfuckers don't want to hear that shit, but they were never allowed to develop. Black America was never allowed to develop. Native America, Indian country, was never allowed to motherfucking develop. See, this is why, you know, I can understand a lot of folks being pissed off with me for saying certain things, but they're not really fucking thinking. You know, it's political ignorance in a lot of ways. You know, because a lot of this shit, you know, again, I'm going back, right? Because I'm accused of being egotistic, even though this is my motherfucking show. You know, which again, you know, if you're going to rag me on some shit that makes some fucking sense. Because people got upset with me, I know I should have started off with this, but I didn't want to, I didn't want to talk about it at all, but I'm going to. Because it's indicative of what the fuck I'm talking about when it comes to racial politics, racial nationalism. Now, a lot of people support Peltier. A lot of people support Leonard Peltier. And that is how Joni... what was it? No, we still don't have a photograph of her, none of that. You know, Joni Rodriguez, you know, we didn't know her outside of Twitter, right? And you got to remember something. I mean, like 1% of the world is on Twitter. And I heard lately that it's 3%. But you got to remember, you know, they found out that multiple hundreds of thousands of these accounts are troll accounts. They're useless. They don't mean anything. They're useless. I mean, how many on Facebook are like that? Does anybody know? Or how many are just false, fake, you know, scams and trolls? You know, because a lot of it, you know, it isn't just trolls. You know, it's just businesses and scammers, you know, like your, Israeli-run, Nigerian email scam. Because I don't know if you know that, but it turns out a lot of those Nigerian email scams are actually coming out of Israeli servers. Those are Israelis. You know, I don't know if it's the Israeli mafia, which is mostly Russian Jews, you know, immigrants over there. They also make up most of the neo-Nazis in Israel. You didn't know that Israel has a neo-Nazi problem, did you? Go on YouTube when Ehud Olmert was the PM, before he got into trouble. Right? Before he got into trouble. Even though he didn't make stupid statements like Netanyahu does. But when Olmert was over there, he said, yeah, you know, we have failed as a society to basically integrate these Russians because we treated them like they were Russians and not Jews. Because, you know, they don't speak Yiddish and they didn't speak Hebrew. So, you know, here it is, you know, they come in speaking Russian or whatever their local dialect was and what have you. And, you know, because they're coming from Russia, they are, all accounts and purposes, culturally and socially Russian. So, well, how did Israelis treat them? You know, how did the Israelis from, I don't know, there's like different parts of New York that they live in, right? But from Brooklyn mostly, and Miami, and Philly, and Cincinnati and shit. You know, how did those Israelis, those Zionists, treat those Russians when they came in? I'm talking about people who, you know, living in a fucking settlement or some shit and have been there about 5 years, they're fucking selves, right? No, you know, real talk. No bullshit. Real fucking talk. They've been there all the 5 fucking minutes and then they start, you know, deciding who's really Israeli and who isn't. You know, and I'm not even talking about how they feel about Palestinians. Which is completely fucking ridiculous to how they feel about Palestinians. So, you know, let all that trickle down for a minute. You know, racial politics, right? I mean, how many Zionists would tell you that they're not racial, that they're just, you know, 100% for Jewish people? Now, you got Arab Jews and shit. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it really is connected. It really fucking is connected, you know, because what I was talking about it in terms of the activism, you know, and what I'm talking about in terms of its relationship to activism is, you know, you want to support, you know, your own folks, but you really got to ask yourself sometimes, are you supporting them just because they're a member of your group or because they're really right? You know, I mean, there are motherfuckers out here that are just criminal-minded and they're violent and they're antisocial. I mean, they're fucking sociopathic, some of these goddamn sons of bitches, who need help. You know, they don't need to be, you know, put into an institution, you know, that supposedly is going to correct them when nobody gets corrected any goddamn way. They need help. You know, I mean, because the society has made them fucking crazy. So, you know, yeah, I understand where the motherfucking anger is coming from. I understand a lot of this shit, but, you know, it's really mis-motherfucking directed. Yeah, so as I was saying, you know, Joni Rodriguez and I had, an understanding on Twitter, and I mentioned her passing. I still don't know where she passed from. I read the statement that was put out by the family, or approved by the family, what have you. I reposted it, and I mentioned her passing. I mentioned that she was a strong advocate for Lennon Peltier. What if that wasn't true? Now, what I also said was that we had a fucking communication problem. Because when you're dealing with Twitter, you can't see the other person. You dig what I'm saying? You can't see the person on the other side. And people can say things or write things out, and it's really misunderstood. So, you know, just like, you know, again, how am I tying this back? I know I'm going on a tangent, but please, roll with me. I'm going to name him. Way Too Indian. I don't know what his motherfucking problem is. follows me on Twitter. I don't know what the fuck for, since, you know, they don't seem to like me and don't like a lot of the shit that I talk about. But yet they come for the data, I suppose, right? Which is what all of this bullshit is about. I'm not doing this for fun. I don't get paid to motherfucking talk on this show. I don't get paid to go on fucking Twitter and do this. This is the new activism. All right? I did all that bullshit in the street. Been gassed, right? Been hit, been pushed around, had to run. I went through all that already. Nuclear weapons, racism, police brutality. Been through it all. You know, march for gay rights. Not my particular issue. I've marched for Asians. Again, not my particular issue. You know, I've been involved in a lot of goddamn things. I've been doing this shit for quite a while. But, you know, it's ridiculous when you see that things have not progressed in a lot of goddamn ways. You know, like I was talking about being in Philly not too long ago because, you know, someone passed, had to go over there and attend the send-off. You know, as people transition, if you can make it, you should go. And I went, and, you know, there were some brothers there that, you know, and, I mean, Philly hasn't changed in a lot of bit. Went over there, things are worse. And, you know, there was a lot of cats. And I remember saying this specifically. I said, you know, they had on the leather coats, and they had on their berets, and had on their boots. And I asked, they were what, New Black Panther Party, right? Or at least that's what they were calling themselves, because there's about 15 to 16 Black Panther Party spinoffs. The original Black Panther Party doesn't exist any goddamn long. I mean, I don't know how many times we've sent out the notice that the Black Panther Party does not exist. Bobby Seale has made an official statement. The Black Panther Party does not exist anymore. The new Black Panther Party doesn't have anything to do with the original aims and goals. You know, they're not coming up with a plebiscite and all that kind of shit. I mean, I'm surprised they're still running around, to be honest with you. Because there's no real leadership. You can look at them and tell there's no real leadership. There's no discipline, really. And there's no, and the political education is limited. Because what do they do? You know, they basically stand around. And white people tell them, oh, well, what about the new Black Panthers? We're terminating people. Motherfucker, you know, get real, man. The Black Panther Party, or the new Black Panther Party, whatever the fuck you want to call them. If they intimidate anybody, it's other black people. Their sole reason for existence is to intimidate other black folks. You know, they are not at all there to really go against the white power structure. They talk about it. You see, they put on all of the accoutrements. You know, they put on the uniforms. You know, they get the camouflage. They talk tough. They wear big leather Africa and shit around their chest. But, you know, in reality, what are they doing? They sit around and they, you know, basically reinforce each other's bullshit. And you have to understand what I'm talking about here, you know, if you're being resistant to what I'm saying. And, of course, the people who are doing this are the ones that are going to be the most resistant to what I'm saying. Because this is what I was complaining about. Now, they got pissed because, you know, they said I talked all about myself and whatever the fuck. Well, like I said, this is my motherfucking show. And when I put, you know, shout outs on Twitter, you know, and I said, look, if anybody wants to talk about Joni, come on. Nobody stepped up. No fucking buddy. Nobody. So, you know, I talked about my understanding of the relationship I had with her, which was not, you know, as far as I know, whatever direct messages she sent to them wasn't what she sent to me. You dig what I'm saying? She was talking to me. And we were able to work past the misunderstanding. The misunderstanding was, just so everybody knows what the fuck we're talking, I know I'm going on a tangent, but roll with me. Right? You had, and I can't even remember her name right now, because it's fucking, because this whole thing is bullshit. But, Elizabeth Warren. Thanks, Lupe. Elizabeth Warren. Now, apparently she wrote a book some years back where she claimed that she's part Native, right? And of course, like most motherfuckers, she claims she's part Cherokee, right? So, you know, I mean, you know, Cherokee claims are a dime a motherfucking dozen, man. You know, I mean, 10 a shekel. You know, it doesn't mean any motherfucking thing. You know how many politicians claim to be part Native? Off the cuff? Maybe they don't put it in writing, but they definitely talk about it. They definitely mention it. They bring it up with it, especially when they're around Natives. Right? They want to talk about their connections because they got a grandparent or some shit that was part Indian. You know, this happens all the goddamn time. So you have to motherfucking wonder why, at least I did, why they were going out of their way the people who, and it was a limited group, and I have to point this out, and this is going to piss a lot of motherfuckers off too, but it's the goddamn truth. A very fucking small group have decided to, you know, that, you know, a very small group of motherfuckers decided that they were going to come down on Elizabeth Warren and basically embarrass her because they don't want to see fake Indians claiming to be Native. Well, I can understand that. I don't like it either. You know? I mean, I don't like it either. And yeah, you know, because somebody's going to say something. Yeah, I'm fucking mixed. But see, I love it how, you know, Indian nationalists and shit talk about racism all goddamn day long. And then if somebody is white and Native, well, he's Native. But if they're black and Native, they're black. Right? And see, and my shit is, I'm not going to walk around with an AKC pedigree card. You know, that fucking white card. You know, if you're proud to have that shit, good for you. Good on you. Good for you that you have your motherfucking validation from the United States government and shit that you can say that you're an Indian person. Fucking good for you. Really. Fucking good for you. You know, I'm glad that you have that. Because see, that's the other thing, Luke, that got me. Because the first person that came out, or the first account, because I think these are all the same fucking person, to be honest with you. This motherfucker has an American flag with Uncle Sam on the front. But he's asking me if I'm a fucking Fed. Because see, this is why I'm talking about this shit. Because this way too Indians, whoever the fuck this is, did the same shit. Why are you posting websites run by FBI agents? Are you a federal agent? Well, I post FBI shit quite often, actually. I post information from wherever the fuck I get it. And if Indian people are actually going to be able to fucking work against what the fuck is, you know, keeping Leonard inside, then they got to understand how fucking Leonard was being set up. You have to read what the fuck they're putting out. You have to read that propaganda. But see, the other problem is because we're dealing in a murky world here, just like I was talking about with Yemen being supported by Saudi, right, because of Iran. And of course, the U.S. is supporting Saudi. This is murky. This is murky. Right? This is a dangerous fucking game that they're playing. And it's the same fucking thing that I'm trying to get Native people to goddamn understand and anybody else that's interested in trying to figure out the fucking problems. Okay? They are pointing out some facts that are being stretched out of fucking proportion. Because it's definitely painting the American Indian movement as a violent bunch of terrorists. Because that's exactly what that page is saying. That's what Way Too Indian is referencing. Now, I was also looking at the fact that you had a hell of a lot of comments that made sense at the bottom of it. But see, you know, it's right on my goddamn profile on Twitter. Retweets or repostings do not equal praise. Just because I fucking reposted something does not mean that I agree with it. I'm posting the information because the information is out there and it should be fucking understood. I read goddamn neo-Nazi sites too to understand what the fuck they're doing, what they're thinking. That is why when I say a whole lot of fucking shit, people look at me like I'm fucking crazy because they're not privy to this fucking information. Well, actually, they are privy to it. They just don't fucking look at it. You got iPhones, you got notebook computers, you got all of this fucking shit, right? But they don't really fucking look deep at any goddamn thing. Whatever the fuck they saw on Facebook, well, that's the news. That's what happened. That's all the fuck they need to know. No before, no middle, you know, no ending to anything. Where's any of this going? No direction. No. So this person saw, you know, that. And then, you know, really, this isn't a question. Why are you posting websites run by ex-FBI agents? See, that's a question of which I could have answered. But see, when you come out with some shit, are you a federal agent? See, fuck you. Because that's exactly how Anna Mae Aquash got killed. From everything that we're fucking looking at now, that's exactly how Anna Mae Aquash got killed. And that's exactly how movements get fucked up. Look up what happened to Fred Hampton Sr. in Chicago and Mark Clark. Right? And Bunchy Huggins. And a bunch of other people that were totally murked by COINTELPRO. Using local police forces, local police task forces, because you had a few programs. You had COINTELPRO, you had CHESMOD, which was basically based on Sada Shakur, Joanne CHESMOD. You know her, that's her, you know, colonial name. But Sada Shakur, they came up with a whole task force against her over a police brutality case. Right? that stemmed, you know, that really got out of control, because it stemmed from a case of a breakout, an attempted breakout that happened. I can't even remember what state, Luke, that was in, when George Jackson and those other brothers from the Black Panther Party. Now, we're talking about Black Panthers that were soldiers within the correctional institutions. All right, they became politicized while they were in prison. George Jackson has spent most of his goddamn, fucking life in jail. Rochelle McGee, who was also connected to that attempt to break out, where I believe a judge was killed and some officers and most of the brothers were killed. The thing was, what ties Asada into that is that the guns that they used, the weapons that they used, were registered in her name. They were purchased legally, but they were in her name. So when their serial numbers were connected to her purchase, she became wanted by the authorities, and it became a major, major case. But then they started connecting her to just about everything. You know, kind of like Carlos the Jackal. I mean, nobody really knows anything about the history of Carlos the Jackal. Believes that he did everything that he was accused of. I mean, he seemed to be more of a bumbler than any goddamn thing else. But the point was, they used his reputation, everything, to pretty much pin a lot of things that they either wanted to disclose, the cases on, or to basically, set certain other things into motion by blaming him. Right? Or for simple cover-ups for other things that the intelligence agencies were doing. Because you got to remember, Gladio was still going on in Europe. And this isn't a conspiracy theory. The I can't remember his name, and I it's Italian, obviously. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I don't want to mispronounce it. But the president of Italy, or the prime minister of Italy at the time, anyway, this is in the '80s, right, or the early '90s, came out and admitted that there was a secret army. A far right secret army that was being funded and supported by the Anglophone intelligence services in Europe, just in case the Russians decided to get antsy. It started right after World War II, and was pretty much from Checkpoint Charlie down to England, right? And on the other side of the wall. No joke. Again, look this up. You don't have to believe me. Do the fucking research. Operation Gladio. To stand behind. Look it up. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. And I'm sorry for the tangent. But again, these things are connected, and you have to bring all of these things up, at least I feel, in order to be able to put things into context. Now, like I said, I understand the anger. But, ask a motherfucking question. If you see me posting the shit that I post, how the fuck could you ask me if I'm a goddamn federal agent? The shit that I talk about on this goddamn show, the subjects and the other audio that I bring into this show. It's not insulting, see, but this is a good way to fucking badjacket some goddamn buddy. It is a good motherfucking way to badjacket somebody. And more than likely, that's what happened to Anna Mae Quash. I believe that's what happened to her. And we need to motherfucking talk about this. Banks is gone, right? Russell Means is not here with us any longer. So why are we not talking about this? Was it Vernon Belcourt, right? One of the Belcourt brothers. He's not here any longer. So why are we not talking about this? Just so Indian people can understand what the fuck was going on. If we're going to talk about AIM, then we should be talking about Dickie Wilson. And of course, if you look at a website like what a Way Too Indian is angry about or upset with me about, no, they don't talk about Dickie Wilson at all. At least I don't believe, or at least they might have mentioned the goons, but they certainly didn't say, the American Indian Movement existed in the fucking first place and was an armed front in the first place because Dickie Wilson popped up with his Guardians of the Oglala Nation, who were not Guardians of the Oglala Nation. They made fun of the fact that the acronym worked out to be goons. And they were federally fucking funded. They were using military-grade field goddamn weapons. And we're talking about a native reservation where how many goddamn vets are on your average res in your average native community? And like I said, it is a little bit of hypocrisy here because, like I said, this first person, and, I was going to go look it up, but what's the fucking point? Whatever the fuck their handle is, And I suppose they deal with native shit. You know, I don't really know. But, you know, this son of a bitch is asking me if I'm a goddamn Fed, or accusing me, that one, of being a fucking Fed. And here he is with Uncle Sam and American flag on his goddamn avatar. So, fuck you, right, you know, right off. Because, you know, because they hate the show, but they listen to it, right? And they follow the motherfucking, the feed from Twitter. So, you know, if you're going to fucking come at me and try to badjack at me like that, man, fuck you, man. Especially if you're going to come out with some, you know, motherfucking Uncle Sam shit. Get the fuck out of here and question me like that? Fuck out of here. And any fucking native that follows that motherfucker, you motherfuckers are suspect. You motherfuckers are suspect. No, Luke, because I get tired of this shit. You know, this is why I don't go to fucking powwows any goddamn more. You know, I would go and not go, I would go after Grand Entry. Because I don't want to see the goddamn flag in there. But see, the same motherfuckers that want to call me a monkey at a goddamn powwow and all that bullshit, and want to tell me about how I'm not really motherfucking native and this, that, and the other, then they want to wave their goddamn Marine service in my fucking face. Or they want to tell me that they were in the fucking army. Or they want to tell me how many fucking tours they did and shit with the fucking Navy. But they're 100% fucking pro-Indian. But then you serve in their fucking military. So who's the sucker here? Black people are being shot at a rate of every 28 goddamn hours. Actually, it's getting worse than that. It's getting worse than that. So it's like, you know, that, you know, wait a minute now. Like I said, nationalism is one thing. Racism is fucking something else. And xenophobia is what? Xenophobia is what gives birth to the racism. And when I say racism, I mean exactly what the word stands for. Racism, the system of racism, right? Well, actually, let me rephrase that. Not the system of race. Well, actually, it implies that the racial disparities are systematic or systemic. But what I'm trying to get to is racism implies a system. It implies a practice. It doesn't imply hate. Xenophobia implies hate. Bigotry implies hate. Racism implies a system. And for people who want to believe, and there are plenty of people who believe this. There are plenty of natives who believe this, and way more black people that believe this, but they keep telling themselves this. And you know, for those who really believe this, it's really ignorance. But the racism in Indian country is just as fucking bad as it is in the goddamn white world. Because remember, the five civilized tribes enslaved black people. And will never let us motherfucking forget that. Because I've had to tell motherfuckers, oh, well, you know, I know you got family from Oklahoma and all this kind of shit, but to say, yeah, I got family in Oklahoma. They carried your motherfucking bags. They were your fucking slaves. We were your fucking slaves. We carried your fucking luggage. I know. Because, see, what this individual was trying to say was, well, I know you got family from Oklahoma, and it's possible that you might have some Indian blood, but black Indians are just that, the black Indians. You know. So, in other words, you belong, but you don't really belong. And then you had the Pequod, and this, I know they tried to do this in court, legally. They tried to split between the white Pequods and the fucking black Pequods. Of course, they didn't say it like that, but that's what it was. You know, because when you come from the East Coast, you know, Indians don't look like they do on the West Coast. And we certainly goddamn don't look like you do in the fucking middle, unless you're from Oklahoma. And this is really bullshit anyway when fucking Cherokees want to, you know, get racial. Blonde hair, blue eyes, green eyes, curly red hair and shit. But when a black person comes in, all of a sudden, you know, we have to maintain the integrity of the nation. So we vote the niggas out twice. And think that, you know, a politically conscious Indian is not going to fucking be aware of that shit. Now, one of the conundrums about this is that one of the leaders, or at least one of the more vocal people, David, you know, I can't remember his name. And it's really not important right now. Because I don't want him looked upon in a negative light, because there's nothing negative about him. I mean, he's an honorable man. And he might have been, and I believe, fairly serious when he was like, well, look, you know, this politician made a false claim, or we're challenging her to prove her claim, which is what I believe his take was. No, it'd take a while to pull up, and, you know, we're trying to move on here because I'm already going on tangent after goddamn tangent. But in any case, this same group, you know, that was getting on me on the Indians thing, they demanded that I speak to him. And I do believe I did send him an email, and I can't even remember if he got back to me because it was just really fucking crazy. And then we had a Cherokee who lives and teaches in Jeff Korntassel, right? Is that his name, Jeff Korntassel? I believe. Somebody will correct me, I'm damn sure, because it's in the archives. He's been on the show twice. He came on to talk about it. And we basically had to, and I know people probably didn't give a fuck about him because it did get pretty rough, because he was saying to me it got pretty rough, because he lives and works in Canada. He teaches in Canada. So, you know, I don't go around asking people to show me their goddamn AKC pedigree card. You know, people tell me they're native, I just go ahead and take their fucking word for it unless there's a reason for me not to. And when somebody white wants to get on me about racism, then they want to tell me about their native fucking background, yeah, I usually challenge them, because the only reason white people even mention fucking a native background is to say that I have a right to be here. That I have a right to be here. You can't tell me that, you know, I can go back to Europe. I have just as much of a blood right to be here as you do. Which is bullshit. If you've been living in the white world that entire fucking time and claiming to be white all this fucking time and only claiming to be Indian when it's convenient or hip. Yeah, I can fucking criticize you because I've been saying I've been fucking native in the goddamn ghetto for as long as I fucking can remember. And my family has never motherfucking argued it, and we were never ashamed of being fucking native. Well, you know, except for maybe my mother, you know, but you know, that's a whole other goddamn story, and we don't need to even get into that kind of shit. You know, because she was Jewish, Filipino, and fucking native. And black Indian at that. So that kind of puts you in a motherfucking position where you have nobody. You have nobody. You know, I mean, why do you think I fucking say the shit that I say, you know, about racism at all? You know, when people are like, well, you're really passionate. Think about why. You know, people who know me, who fucking look at me, they say, well, yeah, you know, I don't know what you are. Brazilian, right? I've been confused for Turk. You know what I'm saying? Nobody fucking knows, man. Because if you don't have an afro, if your hair doesn't fit a certain stereotype, if your nose, your lips, your eye color, your eye shape doesn't fit a certain stereotype, if your physical, you know, structure does not fit a certain physical type, people don't know how to take you. I mean, there's a buddy of mine, blonde, blue-eyed. He identifies as Mexicano. Now, he didn't have to, you know, he came here on the plane. He's 100% legal, and he knows that he was privileged in Mexico. But he said, look, I can make more money up here. And he has an accent and all that, and the women love it. Right? Yeah, right? You know, the lover, right? Lupe knows what I'm talking about. He's good-looking, you know, but for all accounts and purposes, Blanco, right? You know, he's a white guy. He's a white guy in Mexico, and he's a white guy up here. The only time he has any problems is when someone hears his accent, and then it's like, well, wait a minute, where are you from? And if he says Mexico, then they go, no. Because, you know, their idea for Mexican is about 5'8", I'm sorry, about 4'8", dark brown, just left a ranchera, right? You know, not any, you know, nothing realistic. Nothing that reflects the reality of Mexico. You know, it's like when I mentioned about, you know, black Mexican. So what the fuck are you talking about? You know, they don't know anything about Veracruz. They don't know anything about Guerrero. You know, they don't know anything about Oaxaca. They don't know anything about these places. They don't know anything about Colombia. They don't know anything about the, you know, I mean, they know nothing. They don't know that there's Africans all throughout the goddamn Americas. They don't know there's Arabs throughout the Arab world. They don't know that there's blacks throughout the Arab world. They don't know that there's Africans throughout the Asian world. They don't know. And because of this ignorance, you know, when we start getting into nationalism, we get this idea that I, you know, because a lot of people like to quote Marcus Garvey, right? And say, well, you know, he said, Ireland for the Irish, Africa for the Africans. Okay, I understand that. And I'm, not necessarily against that. It's the xenophobia that I have a problem with. See, Malcolm X was able to work past that. Now, in his case, it was Islam. You know, I didn't need religion to get to this point. You know, because a lot of folks are like, well, you know, because of your mix, you know, you can't hate anybody. Oh, no. What are you talking about? You know, I can be just as snotty as any goddamn buddy else, you know. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know certain things that I know or don't know how to, you know, pair your claret with your meal or what have you, Yeah, you know, I can be just as fucked up as anybody else because I do know what to do. I know which fork to use. You know, I know how to address somebody of an official standing because I was raised to do these things, but I still came out of the fucking ghetto. Contradictions. You know what I'm saying? With the mother I had, she married a black man, so she moved to the ghetto. Again, contradictions. She wasn't the only woman like, you know, to do that, who's like that. But, you know, I mean, there's contradictions. And the United States is not the only country to have these, you know, these mixes and these kind of heritages. England, Canada. Now, you know, it's not my fault if Anglo-Saxon, white, you know, Protestant Anglo-Saxons anyway, you know, don't have a background. Because I've had that flipped at me too. Oh, well, you know, when you talk about your family, it's exciting. When you talk about the history of your people, you know, it's exciting. And I don't have that. Well, you didn't. I usually say to them, you know, you're not looking back far enough. But there's the perception, right? Which, again, is brought on by racism. It's brought on by colonialism. That white over here means what? It's the opposite of black. Right? You know, that's why Indians really don't exist. Natives don't exist. There are people who still, to this day, don't believe the native people exist. Or what was it, Andrew Heath 3000? I was talking with you, Lupe, right? You and your husband a couple of nights ago. He said, when he put out that Hey Ya fucking video, because I wrote a piece about that that somehow went down the memory hole of the fucking internet. And, you know, he said Indians are upset with my song and the performance we did because they had on green and yellow, whatever, and running around and, you know, stereotypical bullshit. And, the bottom line was is that he said in this fucking interview to a reporter, just to show you how fucking ignorant this motherfucker is, he said, oh, Indians still exist? This is Andre 3000, that motherfucker's talking about here's this leader. Every time I see that motherfucker, man, he looks to me like a fucking clown. You know, I mean, that's just my goddamn opinion. And I'm entitled to it. I'm not calling him names, but I mean, fuck, man. You know, every time I see him, you know, he's wearing golf trousers and shit, you know, at a regular fucking event. Golf trousers from the fucking 1930s. It's like, come on, man. Come on, man. And yeah, I'm still bitter about that fucking Outer Wild shit because, you know, I was dragged to see that and that was a waste of fucking money, you know. And see, we can talk about that too. Okay, well, we need more black film. You're goddamn right we need more black film. But not shit like Outer Wild. Come on, man. And how many more killer goddamn movies? And, you know, I Want to Be a Hitman kind of fucking films and shit. You know, I mean, and gangster goddamn film. You know, how much more are we going to fucking have of this? Oh, well, we have Empire. Well, we don't have a goddamn thing. It's white motherfuckers and an Arab sheikh that is connected to terrorism that own Fox. They own News Corp. All right? It's an Australian capitalist who was known in Australia as a far-right racist. Right? He and Mel Gibson's father are part of the fascist movement over there in Australia. Yeah, and this is common knowledge. You know, I mean, when Mad Mel got drunk and you know, fucking cussed out those cops and shit, you know, when they stopped him for a DUI, he said it himself. I'm a Judeophobic motherfucking prick, basically. And you just have to accept that because you start all the motherfucking wars, you know. But what did the Christian world do? They completely accepted him. I mean, he has made films since then. And the fact that he hasn't made a Hollywood film since then doesn't mean anything. Because a whole lot of motherfuckers ain't making Hollywood films no goddamn more. That's why I'm saying Steven Seagal must be laughing his motherfucking ass off. You know, I'm seeing some really good fucking actors, some really good talent, who are reduced to doing video goddamn films that are about nothing. You know, the only shit that's worth anything now is the material that's made for fucking cable. You know, the rest of it is just, you know, it's filler. I mean, really, it's not designed. Nobody goes to the fucking movies anymore. You know, if you're a young guy now and you're trying to take a girl on a date, you know, I don't know what the fuck you're gonna do. You know, $20 a ticket. You know, dinner before or afterwards. Drinks before or afterwards. You know, you take her home. Or you know, put her in a cab and you send her home that way. You know, whatever the fuck, man. You got to do overtime now to do that kind of shit. I mean, what used to be, you know, like kind of money you spend on a special occasion. Now that's the first date. You know, what am I talking about, Lou? People don't even fucking date anymore. You know, there's no courting anymore. There's no introduce yourself to the parents and shit anymore, right? There's no evaluation by the brothers and uncles and shit anymore. All that's done. All of that's done. But see, you know, the xenophobes, the nationalists, they feel that if you bring all this back, if you bring church back, or whatever the fuck the religion is that you claim to believe in, I mean, you got Cherokees that would tell you straight out, especially in North Carolina, if you don't practice baptism, if you don't practice the Baptist faith, you're not Cherokee. You know, and there are so many goddamn Indian kids that have been turned away from their homes because they refuse to go to church. Because it's like, I can't believe this. I don't believe this. And besides, those who the ones who are political, this is a white man's fucking religion. And those that are really goddamn smart say it's a white man's version of a fucking Middle Eastern goddamn belief that has nothing to do with Native people at all. You know, that's why fuckers want to come to me and talk about with the Great Spirit. I'm like, man, look, you've been reading too many goddamn, fucking university books or something. Because, well, actually, no, it can't be the university books, because the university books are pointing out that there was no one unified fucking belief amongst all Native people in North America. That's a lie. It's just like Two-Spirit people were accepted in Lakota culture, right? But they weren't accepted in Zuni. You know, from what we understand, you know, I mean, not to say the homosexuals were not there, not to say that people who have different gender identifications were not part of their societies, but it wasn't considered acceptable from what we understand. The Lakota were broader with their humanity. I understand the Cherokee, or anywhere we were much more broader in their humanity. The Mayans were broader in their humanity. I mean, if you're going to say that Indian people, you know, for lack of a better term, indigenous people in North America are human beings, the original human beings, then that would include everything that, you know, has anything to do with the human being. That would include all the ranges of sexuality, all the ranges of emotions, all the ranges of attitudes, fears, and animosities, and negativities. See, what I get tired of is like, okay, well, you can't talk about the American Indian movement like they were peaceful. Sorry, they were not peaceful. Ray Robinson Jr., we still don't know where the fuck he is. We still don't know where the fuck he is or exactly what the fuck happened to him. And like I said, I had, you know, over the years have tried to find out. You know, and that has gotten me in more precarious situations than anything else, being a black man speaking to fucking Indian people in Indian communities. Nobody wants to fucking talk about Ray Robinson Jr. No fucking buddy wants to talk about Ray Robinson Jr. They don't want to hear the name. But he showed up at the AIM compound. All right, now, but by all accounts and purposes, you know, his wife, people who worked with him, this is somebody who worked with Dr. King, right? People who worked with him said, yeah, he could be, you know, a handful. He was very passionate about what he was fucking doing. And it's entirely possible that he went there to the Wounded Knee camp, like a lot of fucking people showed up for all kinds of fucking reasons. And, you know, tried to impose some of the nonviolent philosophy on them. And they got tired of him. And there's also a stronger possibility, as one older woman hinted to me, he was black, and that was enough. So, you know, I mean, there's also stories that he wouldn't pick up a gun and wound a knee, and that's why he got into it. But if you look online, there's various stories, and of course, they're the ones that are supportive of the feds that will talk about the Ray Robinson Jr. story, that will talk about Anna May Aquash. But they don't want to talk about what happened to her. Now, you know, more than likely, and I'm not fucking proud to say this, AIM probably, yeah, I mean, more than likely, AIM did both of them. But not necessarily. Okay, in the case of Anna Mae Aquash, I'm of the belief that she was bad jacketed. Which is, again, why I'm talking about what I'm talking about. Because, see, I was accused twice in, like, what, you know, a couple of weeks of being a motherfucking fed. See, fuck y'all. That's how Anna Mae got taken out of here, okay? Somebody put that bullshit out there. And fuckers got nervous and believed it because, well, they were getting heat. They were getting serious heat. People were dying. I mean, how many confirmed murders in Wounded Knee alone? On Pine Ridge Reservation. How many goddamn murders that can be attributed to the civil war that went down between the goons and the rest of the motherfucking community? And there was sporadic violence, you know, around the country in Indian communities, you know, about this. And I can't remember this motherfucker's name, but the one who turned out to be the real motherfucking agent who testified. I can't remember his name right now. But he was running with AIM. He was right there with them. I believe he was even suggesting that they do violent shit. And they were all in court over something. I can't even remember the case. And then he gets up and says, yeah, well, you know, I was basically an informant. I was the inside man for the Bureau. Yeah, they're real goddamn Asian provocateurs out there. But I'm not one of them. And see, and when you don't have any fucking imagination, you just want to insult because you don't understand what the fuck is going on. You don't have enough common sense. You know, you don't have enough integrity, but there's no integrity when you do something like that. There's no integrity. I really meant intelligence. There's no intelligence in that. And like I said, you know, this whole thing with this particular politician, and I don't give a fuck about what her name is. I can't remember right now. She might have said this shit, but the thing is, they waited to right before the, you know, her election cycle, before they raised it. She put that book out some time back. Why didn't they fucking wait till back then to do this? No, this shit was done, or that specific shit was done to derail her fucking campaign. All right, and yeah, you have to be a Republican with a fucking American flag, Uncle Sam goddamn thing on your avatar, to say that was the most pressing goddamn problem in Indian country. That this, politician who was really fucking kicking Wall Street in the ass, trying to drag them into court for what they did to people with the subprime fucking loan scandal, that most taxpayers most, because the Koch brothers didn't pay a fucking dime in taxes. Exxon and shit, they don't pay a dime. They don't pay anything. You and I pay, okay? You and I pay. They don't pay a fucking, you know, cent. Not a shekel. Bupkis. You and I pay. Now, you know, politically speaking, you want somebody like that up there. Not a fucking Republican that's going to turn everything goddamn over to Alec. And if you don't know what Alec is, the American Legislative Executive Council, look it the fuck up. They got no fucking water in Detroit. Now, for Native people who don't have water in most Indian goddamn communities, it makes sense to put people in fucking place that will motherfucking argue for these goddamn things. You don't put Republicans in because they're arguing for a ban on abortion. They're arguing for a ban on women in the workplace. They want what did that one crazy ass fucking woman say, Luke, before we came in here today? That she wants it mandatory by law that everybody has to pray. Because that's just going to fix every goddamn thing. That's going to stop everything. That's going to stop all the poverty. That's going to stop all the wars. Everybody just needs to be praying. Remember, what was that? Texas or wherever the fuck? Or somewhere in the South? North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever the fuck? They're crazy, wherever the fuck it was. It's one of these goddamn red states. Somewhere along the Bible Belt, they were praying for rain. And it was what? Congressmen, senators, whatever the fuck. Members of the House out there stand praying God for rain. Just like with the Terry Schiavo shit. That was not the most pressing goddamn thing. But there were people, there are Republicans right now that would tell you, I still respect President George W. Bush because he left his vacation. The Crawford Coward got up and he went to D.C., got on a fucking plane, broke his vacation. He hardly spent any time in the White House, but he showed up to sign the Terry Schiavo Emergency Act, right? And then after they did the autopsy on that poor woman, what did they find out? Her brain was gone. Her brain was gone. So these motherfuckers were crazy. And like I mentioned this, I know I've said it before and I'm going to say it the fuck again. There was a goddamn unit of wackadoodles who were trying to organize a unit of men who were going to go in and under arms take out Terri Schiavo and take her to a quote-unquote secure location so they could revive her, I guess through prayer. You know, like Bill Frist. I will never fucking forgive or forget him when he said that he was looking at a monitor and he could diagnose Terri Schiavo through the monitor. He was not her motherfucking doctor. He's a congressman, right? Well, he wasn't a congressman, whatever the fuck he was. And he said that she could get up and walk away from there. The woman's brain was dissolved. She was brain dead for years. She was deteriorating for years. But they want to push their motherfucking religion while accusing the rest of us for pushing atheism on them, which is madness. Which is madness. This is why I'm upset with the New York City school system. They just approved a Muslim holidays for the I guess the school system never, they're going to recognize it in the municipal thing, right? All right, so the city's going to recognize it. I don't know what the state's going to end up doing. So, okay, so now Islam is recognized too. I mean, I'm against any fucking religion having a holiday that's recognized by any branch of the fucking government. Not just Islam, Judaism, Christianity, all of them. There shouldn't be a recognition for the Buddha's birthday. Well, technically, you're not supposed to fucking worship, you know, worship the Buddha or fucking celebrate on his birthday any goddamn way. You know, this is all hypocritical and in complete contradiction to the fucking belief systems of these people. But when you're dealing with fascism, I don't give a fuck what color it is, what country it comes from, or what religion it fucking claims to follow. It's all hypocritical bollocks. All of it. Every fucking iota of it cannot be believed. And the people who push these goddamn ideas are impossible to fucking believe or take seriously. You just can't. So, people in native, Indian country hate me. Well, they would hate me any motherfucking way. I'm a monkey, right? You know, we used to own you. Yeah, one motherfucker said that to me. A very fucking white Cherokee said that to me. We used to own you. But that was a long time ago, he said. And I said, and I was like, so what's the difference of a redneck? And I don't use that term. But if like, you know, some southern Confederate flag-waving son of a bitch said that to me. And then I'm like, oh, well, wait a minute. The Confederates, you guys are on the side of the Confederate Army. What am I talking about? Stan Waddy was the last goddamn Confederate general to stand down. He was a Cherokee general fighting for the fucking Confederacy. Why? Because he was a slave owner. He was the plantation owner. And he was fighting for his motherfucking investment. Which is not to say that there wasn't a movement within the Cherokee Nation once it got out to Oklahoma. Right? Because, you know, in North Carolina and what was left of North Carolina and Georgia and what have you, you know, it's still kind of up in the air, right? There's different versions about what really happened. But let's just say, you know, that there was a whole lot of strife and fighting back on the East Coast. But when it came to Oklahoma, no. There were only a handful of Cherokee. And this really actually kind of split the nation. You know, well, it didn't kind of. It did split the fucking nation because, you know, one side sided with the Confederacy, which by default, by fiat, put the other half, whether they gave a fuck about Africans or not, because they probably really didn't. It's like the African Colonization Society. You think they gave a fuck about black people? They wanted to put some American-trained blacks in what became Liberia so that they could fucking fleece the country, and that's exactly what happened. And what happened with that? Yeah, these, you know, it's hard to tell a lot of these Afrocentric cats that when Liberia was founded, that these suckers were being used as proxy goddamn custodians for the white power structure in the United States, for white business in the United States, to fleece the country of Liberia, which is exactly what has happened. It which is exactly what continues to fucking happen. I mean, there's cannibalism going on in fucking Liberia. I'm not kidding about that shit. But do you think anybody's talking about that? No. You know, they're still trying to get the fucking resources out. They don't give a damn if the place is chaotic. And who's running it? Not white folks. You hear, you know, last names like Jonathan and shit, you know. People have English first and last names. Anglo-Saxon first and last names. Born and raised in Africa. But they're the descendants of the, Africans here, the freed slaves that went back. So what did they do? They felt that they were better than the motherfucking people that they ran into. They were living in huts. You know, because their slave quarters were like the Ritz compared to what the fuck these folks were doing. And they had that class disparity. And of course, you know, white people pushed it on them because by this time a few of them could read and all of these people couldn't read a word of English or any other goddamn language. So they were better. So it's the same thing in Indian country. I mean, you got Ben Nighthorse Campbell. I mean, you know, he did how many goddamn terms up there? A Republican, right? How many terms did he do? How many times did he mention Lennon Peltier? I mean, I know he did every now and again, but did he really lead a fight to get, you know, Lennon Peltier out? Did he really lead a fight, right? For Native people to get their land back? Did he lead any fights like this? And this, like with the Cobell case. I'm not against the Eloise Cobell case. I believe that was her first name. I was all for the Eloise Cobell case. But here's the thing, though. Did the Cobell case involve Native country? No, it involved some families. They got cheated. some Indian families that got cheated by the feds. They had land allotments and they got fucked out of their money. But when, you know, they did come down to a settlement, it was way less than what the fuck the real fucking money, you know, was owed. And they could have taken that goddamn money and improved Native America. It's the same thing with black folks. I really get tired of the people who want to play on stats. They say, oh, well, you know, so many people, blacks, who were arrested. Like I said, these motherfuckers would pull some stats from a year that they like. Oh, so many blacks, without saying how many of these people were framed. How many of these people were in the wrong place at the wrong time? How many of these people were caught up in sweeps when they're just arresting, you know, at will? I know men that have lost their jobs because they got caught up in sweeps. They happened to be standing on the wrong fucking corner, or one of them went on his lunch break and got his motherfucking cup of coffee and a couple of goddamn donuts and didn't get the light. So he stood there at the corner waiting for the fucking light. There's all kinds of creeps selling dope right there. They dragged his ass in along with him. He lost his motherfucking job. Then he lost his fucking wife. Then he lost every goddamn thing. The last time I saw him, he was homeless. Because he was never able to get back on his feet. After he got arrested, he had to fucking pay to get out, right? Or the percentage, whatever the bail bondsman shit is. Whatever the crimes were. And then when he got out, he had lost his job. And then he just wasn't able to catch up. And then because he had gotten into trouble, even though it eventually got dropped, because it turned out that they had just, like I said, randomly arrested everybody. So, you know, it got dropped. It was still on his record. So he had a terrible time finding work after that. You know, work that paid any fucking thing. And his woman eventually left him. And then he started drinking. And then he started smoking crack. And then, you know, I did what I could as a pal. You know, I mean, I knew him. We were not tight. But I did what I could as a pal. And, you know, like I said, the last time I saw him, he was in the shelter. I mean, I heard he was clean. But, you know, he didn't look good. He looked like he had been through the wars. His life got ruined. But see, you know, the white racists, the white supremacists, you know, they're literalists. So if the United States says that, you know, racism is illegal, then there's no racism, right? Because there's a law. So that means that it can't be happening. There's rules against police brutality. So let's pretend that it's not happening, right? Because there's a rule. There's a rule. You know, you're supposed to respect people. There's a rule. And this is what they do. It's still cherry picking. No matter how you look at it, it's still cherry picking. And the idea that Native people and black people and you know, they can't do this. The Spanish-speaking Indians, otherwise known as Latinos, you know, Latinum doesn't exist any goddamn more, but we'll go with that for identification purposes. You know, there's no Chicanos, right? You know, Latinos, right? Chicanos what? You know, nobody wants to use that word anymore, right? So, you know, I mean, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? So if you bring out the fact, or at least like I do, I put information out there. How you digest it, that's fucking up to you. But ask me a question. Oh, motherfucker, oh, you a fucking federal agent. You know what? Are you? Like I said, this is political stupidity. Now, you're going to go after a politician for claiming to be Native in a book that she wrote some time back, right before her motherfucking election, and going to try to tell me, well, maybe if you didn't believe that, you know, it was the Republican tactic, all of a sudden they give a fuck about Native rights. Because, see, that's the other shit that gets me, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, and lurkers. I mean, the Republican Party has done nothing for Native people. Nothing for Native people. Yeah, I mentioned Ben Nighthorse Campbell, but what have they done for the Indian in America? Nothing. Lenin's still in it. They don't even mention his fucking name. But I can't remember the names, but a bunch of them jumped up that were Republicans. All of a sudden, they gave a fuck about Native identity, and it was terrible that this woman was claiming to be Native when she really wasn't. We don't really motherfucking know. Well, she didn't come forth with any proof. Well, look, you know, one of the things I guess that's kind of dreamy about being a Cherokee is that unless you are on the last roll, the Dawes roll, and some will stretch it maybe the last two rolls, because there's several. And, you know, we need to ask questions of why there's several with this particular civilized tribe, right? Why there's several? You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of fucking people that are Native that for a lot of legal goddamn reasons, especially if you were adopted, can't find any paper proof right, that a white man jotted down, an Indian agent or missionary or some shit had jotted down when they fucking came and displaced us and said, yeah, this person's native because I say. Because that's exactly what it is. It's what they say. It's not what you say. It's what they say. And, you know, these same people make the argument, well, we don't recognize you. Well, who's we? Who the fuck is we? You know, there are plenty of Native people who recognize me, just like there are plenty of Filipinos and Jews that recognize me, and some black folks that recognize me. Because I know for white people, you know, if you don't have straight hair, you're black, right? If you're not white, you're black. If you don't speak Spanish, you're black. And in their mind, I can walk in any fucking community I want to, and nothing will happen to me. Right? I can go through Harlem. I can go through Gary, Indiana. I can go through, you know, any, you know, South Central. And I just have this bulletproof protection of my blackness. But see, the thing is, to black people, I'm not black. And the Jews, I'm not really Jewish. Enough. You know, usually by appearance's sake. You know, even though I grew up eating just as much gefilte fish as they did. You know. And my mother lit candles for the fucking holy day, high holy days and shit. You know, they don't know that. And spoke Yiddish. But they don't know that, see. And it doesn't matter. I don't look the part. But, you know, when I'm around Filipinos, yeah, I'm way too fucking tall for most of them. You know, I mean, old people will look at my face and say, yeah, Ilocano. You know, but mostly, you know, I look like some American serviceman and shit there who's looking for a wife, right? You know, I mean, come on, let's just be real about how shit is. Let's just be real about how shit is. You know, we are tribal, clannish, and all that shit by nature. But that does not mean that cosmopolitanism doesn't have a place. And that does not mean that xenophobia has any role or should have any role in nationalism. It shouldn't. It should be the one fucking element that all nationalist groups and nationalist activists and analysts and thinkers should be pointing out as something that they need to be aware of and to avoid. All right? That should be one of the things that should be in the activist goddamn handbook if you're going to do nationalism. Do not creep into xenophobia. There's a difference between group solidarity and fucking xenophobia. See, and a lot of this shit that I'm getting from these people, if they are native, because see, I can play that shit back, can't I? I can say, how the fuck do I know you're Indian? That's because you post a lot of native shit? I've had two people so far, you know, through my entire fucking internet career who have gotten on my ass, and then it turned out that they were white people. They were not native at all. They were not fucking native at all. They were not native at all. I mean, there's this one, well, actually three if I count this cat. He, newspaper rock or whatever the fuck, got on my ass, was on my back for a while, was insulting me, questioning my being native. Is he native? No. He's not Indian. He's not native. But, you know, he's out here making fucking comments, right? Then there was that other one, Bad Eagle. Another fucking Republican. Well, hell, there were some people who said that he's really fucking Italian, that he's not native either. And then when I saw it on his fucking ridiculous website, I mean, it used to give me headaches. That's why I had to stop looking at it. You know, and not because he was insulting me, because, oh, well, he's really black. Yeah, no, because the fucking material in this shit was just stupid and wrong and misguided and things he just pulled out of his fucking rectum. I don't know where he got a lot of this shit from. Just like with the rest of these motherfuckers. I don't know where they get these ideas from. It's like these anti-vaccine people. Look, let me explain something to you. Because this is related to what the fuck I'm talking about. The man who wrote that goddamn paper admitted that he was paid to fucking write falsehoods. And he figured that if he wrote this, he would move up in the fucking industry and he would make more fucking money. And he did. And now he's admitting, yeah, I faked and lied about the whole shit. And, well, hey, sorry, oops. Right? So people are still believing this. But one of the reasons why people still believe it is that it came out, for a lot of folks who didn't know anything previously, when things were written about the vaccine, the false vaccine study, saying that autism is connected to vaccines, right? That they found out about Tuskegee. Now, again, not that they give a fuck about black folks. You know, I mean, Alex Jones and so on, they will mention Tuskegee all the time, right? These Agenda 21 nutcases, they will mention Tuskegee when it's convenient for them, but ask them if they really give a fuck about black people. Zero. They don't give a fuck about black people. Because if you ask them about police brutality or, you know, nooses and shit being hung around and mass incarceration, they're all for that. The death penalty, they're all for that, provided that the motherfucker's white and poor. But if they're black, yeah, man, burn them. Fuck it. Burn them. You know, I mean, just to show you how backwards we're fucking moving, that they just came up with some goddamn idea that you could go back to the firing squad. You got Indiana here, you know, which has a large goddamn Klan population, where they just decided that if their religion says that they don't want to serve natives at their cafe because natives are, you know, what a crazy lady, what the fuck did she say, that if you come from a dragon background, a Native American background, you might have animal worship and satanic worship, you know, in your background. You need to pray that out. Yeah, we played the audio. Look, man, this is all crazy. They found out about the Tuskegee thing, which is a fact. They gave placebos to men who had syphilis so that they could basically see how shit would work out, to see if niggas were affected by syphilis the same as white folk, right? And what they found out was, and I guess this was a big boon, because the woman who they made the movie Mrs. Evers Boys about, she said, well, we did find out that black people and white people were affected by syphilis the same. Whatever. What the fuck? You know, I mean, really? Really? That's what she said. So yeah, they found that out, but they also realized that this would fuck up the black community in there, and they knew that. They knew that these men were going to go home, go to their wives and girlfriends, and spread it. And children were born with it, and people died from it, went blind, everything else. But hey, you know, they're those niggas. So you have that going on. And then you have the other cases of human experimentation against African people in the United States, against Indian people in the United States, and that includes Puerto Rico. And then what was it? Guatemala, Colombia, they found some other goddamn cases, the same thing. They were testing on these women, experimenting on them, because that's how they developed the pill, you know, working on Puerto Rican women and, you know, fucking with their goddamn genetics and shit to perfect, you know, that process. So, yeah, you know, I mean, they took all of this information, which is relative, and put it in the goddamn literature without any context. And then, you know, these anti-vaxxers are like, well, you know, they really do this shit, which, yeah, they really do this shit. Well, since they really do this, then, you know, all these vaccines, they're trying to kill people. Well, obviously, if the fucking company is shady, if they're like goddamn Monsanto, or if they're like Bayer, when they knew that they had HIV-tainted fucking blood products and shit and sent them to the poorest goddamn countries in the world, well, yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean... capitalism does shit like that. And they do choose the lower people in society and experiment on them. You know, Hillary Kropotsky, who's been connected to the accidental creation of HIV by using rhesus monkeys and macaca monkeys. Monkeys they weren't supposed to be using to make vaccine in the Congo when the Belgians were there. Right? He was known. He was actually fired and had to leave the United States under a cloud, because he had tested on children in a hospital in New York and killed a good many of them. Like, damn near 40% of these kids died. So what did he do? He just packed his bags and went someplace else and found another funder for his goddamn study. Because, you know, they were trying to come up with the vaccine for polio. And Jonas Salk had actually written Kaprosky and pointed out to his contemporaries that he's fucking around with a virus that they called Virus X. And that he wasn't even trying to motherfucking deal with it. And that he was experimenting on humans with this. What humans was he experimenting on? He was experimenting on the Congolese who were being colonialized by the Belgians in Africa. That's who they experimented on. And these were some of the people, the first people who came down with HIV. At least the first generation of it. Because there's different, you know, strains now. Thanks to, you know, people fucking with science. See, that's capitalism. And you can look at the Rockefeller Report, you know, talking about how many humans there are, and it's too many in Africa and South America and Asia and what have you. Yeah, that information is out there. But you have to put it into context. You just can't read one sentence and say, well, this is the entire goddamn thing. I mean, that's how it is with the Margaret Sanger bit. You know, these motherfuckers want to talk about my Alpha 21. You know, they need to stop fucking stealing African politics to fucking push their bullshit. But this is what they do. The Ma'afa really refers to the slavery period and the amount of people we lost in the slavery period, right? Some say 3 million, some say 13 million. The numbers bounce. Who fucking knows? I know it was more than fucking 6 million I can tell you that. And I remember when that argument was 4 million, and then it went to 5, and then they settled at 6. So, you know, for me to say 3 to 13, you know, that's all fair game, because nobody really wants to motherfucking really get to grass tacks and really fucking figure out how many. You know, and I'm not leaving the Arabs out of this either, because that's how the Portuguese got into it. But my point is, you got to put these things in context. When Margaret Sanger, and they bring up her in abortion, yes, she was a racist. Yes, she did speak to the fucking Klan about women's rights. Yes, she certainly did. And she admitted that she was a bigot, and she didn't think the black people were very fucking intelligent. But she didn't think they were not very intelligent biologically. She just felt culturally black people were stupid. Culturally speaking, not genetically. But, you know, they'll take that fact and say, oh, okay, well, see, that's proof that she was running an all-black, an anti-black extermination program through Planned Parenthood, which is a fucking lie. The first people who were treated in that New York clinic that she had, the first one, were Eastern Europeans. Black women did go there because they were not receiving medical care, especially for, you know, female issues, anywhere. And they didn't have too many of their own doctors because they weren't training too many. And gynecology was still pretty much, they were still trying to figure out what the fuck was going on. Real talk. So, you know, if you're a woman, common sense would say go to where women are running the program. So they went to the Sanger program. Now, if Planned Parenthood has been trying to wipe out black people, well, I mean, fuck, they're not doing a damn good job at it. I mean, they've been working with the black community for how many decades? So it's bullshit. So like I said, they took a fact and they ran with it. But the reason that they could take a fact and run with, well, first off, they're being selective and they're picking and choosing, you know, cognitive dissonance, you know, on what they want to accept. But at the same time, you know, they're being literal about it. They take, okay, well, she spoke to the Klan, so that must mean... No, that doesn't mean any goddamn thing. I mean, I saw a picture of fucking George Clooney laughing with Henry Kissinger. It looks bad. And if I ever get a chance to ever ask Clooney face to face, I'm going to ask him, what the fuck were you talking to him about? You know, but I mean, what am I going to do? Judge him on that alone? They were obviously at a social fucking event. So what was I supposed to, and other people supposed to do? What, expect him to punch Henry out? You know, I mean, what? You know, so no, man. Even with your fucking enemies, even when you're standing across from the devil, it still pays to be goddamn polite. You know, it does pays. And it pays to know what the fuck you're talking about. And it pays to have some background on shit before you start running your fucking mouth. So that's for, you know, whoever the fuck these people are on Twitter and anybody else. Know the background. Look at the information you don't necessarily want to look at. If it's bullshit, it's bullshit. But you're not going to know if it's bullshit or not until you check it the fuck out. If it doesn't stand up, it doesn't fucking stand up. But you're not going to know until you look. So, you know, that's just some advice for me. That's my bicentennial minute for today. You know, that, you know, think. Think before you speak. And be sure to speak about what you're actually thinking about. Because it doesn't make any sense to just run your fucking mouth just so you can have something to say. And that's what a lot of us do. We just talk so that we have something to say. So it doesn't seem like, you know, we're not in the loop. And we just regurgitate. And we're regurgitating a hell of a lot of problems, man. So, you know, be smart. Think, research, contemplate, and you know, eventually maybe we'll be able to fix things, you know? Maybe, eventually. But it's going to take work, and it's going to take us doing the mental work. Running around acting tough isn't going to do a goddamn thing, all right? Doesn't do a fucking thing but stop the conversation. This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please, stay tuned. The way to get with you. 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 The women.
This is Bruce LaBruce, www.brucelabruce.com, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
The subject is called the Leviathan Spirit. Now, why are we doing this? Because I have just really feel from the Lord that I should teach it. This spirit, what does it do? I wrote down some of the things. I'm convinced it's a cause of divorce, tribal wars, church splits, family feuds, sibling rivalries, ministries breaking up. It is more responsible, I believe, than any other spirit. If you have in your bloodline any animus, any Native American blood, for instance, some, not all Native Americans worship the serpent or crocodile, many did, but you might want to renounce that and repent for that generational iniquity. If you are, perhaps you're Mexican, and you might have indigenous blood in you, or Mayan blood, those who might have Aztec blood anyway, you need to repent for the sin of animism before you begin to deal with this spirit, because it'll be very active in your bloodline. We know that some of the totem poles, even in the north of America, in the Virginias and places like that, would have the crocodile in their totem poles. So if in the totems there is a crocodile spirit, you can say that there could be a very strong spirit of Leviathan operating in that area if it has not been dealt with as a territorial spirit.
Listening to Aboriginal Press News Service Public Radio. Indigenous talk radio for Celtic Scotland and other people living in the Fourth World.
Obama's hair is looking grayer these days. Can't imagine why, since he doesn't seem to be one bit worried about all that's going on. Is there any way we could fly Obama to some golf course halfway around the world and just leave him there? Well, RW is Surfer Girl. I think that's a great idea. A 30-rack of Coors Light is $23 now at Sunstop. Thanks, Obama. How do you make Obama's eyes light up? Shine a flashlight in his ears. That's pretty good. Somebody send Obama some life hacks on how to be a good president. Ha ha. Like, I bet that would help. LOL. You know, the LOL is redundant when you have the ha ha. I'm all right with the president wearing jeans. I'm not all right with the president wearing those jeans.
Can I just say something?
Yeah,
I think that's mean, and I don't think there's anything wrong with the jeans you wear.
Jimmy, I think they've got a point. Have you been working out?
I'm going to stand until I can't stand no more, if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of color organize features intersections of race, politics, politics, feminism, movements, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganized.com. Follow us on Twitter at POCorganized and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganized. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that prevents pregnancy. It is not an abortion pill and does not cause an abortion, only the prevention of pregnancy. If you have had unprotected sex or have been raped and need Plan B, contact your local Indian Health Service. You have a legal right to receive Plan B over the counter, meaning without a prescription or a doctor's appointment if you are 17 or older. Plan B must be taken within 72 hours of sexual intercourse to be effective. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
This is FSNL reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
Este es Radio Insurgente, voz del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, transmitiendo desde las montañas del sureste mexicano.
Back in Ireland, the
should he lie down?
Idle No More calls all people
to join in peaceful revolution,
to honor indigenous sovereignty,
and protect the land and water.
For generations to come,
Mexicans, South Americans, all indigenous people, get inspired,
take action,
and become a part of the solution.
It's my future.
Your future.
Our future.
We are the protectors of Mother Earth.
Stand up and protect it.
Stand up and protect it.
Stand up
and protect our earth.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
And become a part of this incredible movement.
The time has come.
Idle No More.
Idle No More.
Idle No More. Become idle no more.
Roseanne Cash for the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
Johnny Cash was my dad. For years, he had diabetes but ignored it, even as his vision and health slipped away. Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, even take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better too. To learn more, visit healthywithdiabetes.org.
I am absolutely convinced that this nation is finally headed in the right direction. Our economy is growing again. We are adding jobs again. America's moving forward again.
President Obama wants $50 billion to create jobs for construction of roads, railways, and runways. Already, billions have been committed in new initiatives such as Social Innovation Fund, economic stimulus, and broadband. And hundreds of millions are going to border security. Yet, security and jobs for whom? Construction jobs mostly employ men. The new funding initiatives have principally benefited institutions and government. And border security seems to be for U.S. transnationals operating maquilas and those seeking to profit from the violence and poverty in Ciudad Juarez and Mexico. But what about security and jobs for women workers on the U.S.-Mexico border? Why invest in infrastructure benefiting transnational corporations and not in community-led development? For nearly two decades, first with NAFTA and now with the war on drugs, border women have seen their livelihoods, communities, and futures written off as unfortunate but necessary casualties by the companies they made rich, left to live and die amidst the underdevelopment of the border. Yet, women have refused to accept this fate. Organized, fierce, and resilient, they're pursuing their own version of security and employment. La Mujer Obrera in El Paso is one example. Through their daycare, restaurant, festival marketplace, museum, media center, and adult education programs, the women are creating genuine border security, real economic development. And they have extensive plans for additional development, including schools, housing, and health programs. Like La Mujer Obrera, there are other low-income women on the border who have the vision and drive needed to create spaces where cultural arts and grassroots microenterprises can flourish, restoring economy, pride, and dignity in their neighborhoods. Their efforts are the stuff that economists, feminists, and reformers tout as vital to build sustainable national security and development. Yet today, the women find themselves fighting their hardest battle yet. Sustainability in the weakest U.S. economy in decades, and a future being designed without them. Local and national media have focused on border violence and security issues, but have missed the solutions that border women are ready to implement. Public-private initiatives need to prioritize border women's efforts to restore their communities from the damaging effects of international trade policies. As Gloria Steinem said when she visited La Mujer Obrera, there is no safe space for women. We have to create that space. We have to build that community. The conditions of women on the border are urgent, and women on the border are demanding justice and equity now. For more information, contact La Mujer Obrera.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.